Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show. Peace. Charlie B. Moore. She's so hyped, she ain't even waiting on her theme song. Well, since this already is, before we get into it, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready?
I love you, Grandma.
I'm your co-host. Charlie B. Moore.
I love you, Grandma.
I'm your co-host. Charlie B. Moore.
Your approach is like a major
Charlie.
A major factor.
I'm your co-host.
How you?
I'm your co-host. I'm your co-host.
Or your perception.
I'm your co-host. I'm your co-host. I'm your co-host.
I think change is necessary.
I'm your co-host. I'm your co-host.
Y'all already know the lady of the hour. You know the one with the magical power, casting spells like abracadabra. My co-host,
Charlie B. Moore.
Let's get it in.
Charlie B. Moore.
North Star Talk, baby. Yo, Charlie B. Moore.
Charlie B. Moore.
Let's do this. Peace.
Oh.
How you doing?
Peace. I can't wait tonight. Like, what?
I know. I had to check and see if it's ladies' night.
I know, right?
No. Right. I want you to be that hype. We might have to kick the month of July off with ladies' night. You gonna do more than one night in the month now?
Oh, no, yeah,
right.
It's Falcon Thursday, come on the 4th, so, you know.
Right, so we might have to let you do Tuesday night coming up, and you're going to wait until the following week after. Get everybody that 4th of July off.
Okay. Yo, you know, tonight it's a serious topic, you know. You can get PTSD from staying in emotionally abusive relationships. That's crazy. Now, you know, everybody thinks getting PTSD, what is called post-traumatic stress disorder, only happen to people in the military or, you know, being in the war, you know, or being in some tragic accident. You know, post-traumatic stress disorder includes a cluster of symptoms that begin and persist after a person has survived or in some cases witnessed a severely traumatic or life-threatening event. Because trauma puts us on a high alert, it can lead to neurochemical changes. In some cases, memories of trauma become difficult to process while anxiety increases, all causing the individual to re-experience the feelings associated with trauma as if it were occurring in the present tense. Now, how does PTSD, also known as post-traumatic stress disorder, take place in a relationship? You know, Charlie, a relationship is supposed to be loving, comforting, may have a little struggles for balance, right?
Right.
But we're talking about actually someone in a relationship, or the relationship gets to the point where the person in the relationship, according to the news article, it was a woman talking about it, is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder based on an abusive relationship. She wasn't being abused physically, but psychologically, mentally. And anytime there's psychological or mental abuse, it destroys the spirit, or what we call the soul. So, talk to me, Charlie. What's your take on this reality? Because it is a reality.
Yeah, it is. I feel like the PTSD, or, you know, the PTSD of it is very real. And a lot of people experience it and have the symptoms and don't even realize it and stuff. Because once you've been in an abusive relationship and you've been in there for a long time and stuff, that psychological abuse that you was talking about is mental. So the toxic things that are being said to you, you start believing them. You heard them. It's like being brainwashed and whatnot. You ain't shit. You'll never be shit when, if you're not, you know, with me. Just the name calling and whatnot, even though you know that you're not that and whatnot. But once you be around it for so long and whatnot, you start believing some, not all, some of it and everything. And then, but you never, and the thing too, you never really can say, you know, when dealing with the mental, you never know what a person, why, you know, they stay so long or whatever, because a lot of people like to say that. Oh, what? Well, I can't be in that like that. Nobody can say what somebody else can do or will do and whatnot, because experience is the best teacher. Well, I ain't going to say, yes, that is. You don't have to actually experience that. You can see someone else going through it to recognize those signs. But
right,
believe it or not, a lot of people still recognize the signs and stay and whatnot. And most of the time, it'd be out of fear.
Indeed.
That's
what I was going to say. It's not that they might have a strong desire and will to leave. But see, this is the thing about traumatic stress, right? Once that fear kicks in, especially, look, imagine, and some of us might have even been through it, but imagine somebody that you love or that you're in love, you feel you're in love with. Verbally abuses you for whatever. They might drink, they might get high, they on some other shit, might be have a side piece, a side relationship. They come home and they take it out on you when they can't get out, or whatever going on with them. But when they're around you, and they this is somebody that you say you love. You might, in your mind, you make love to them. You're doing everything you possibly can to hold on to this person, to show this person you love them, and you get, where the fuck you going? Why you got to, what the, damn, every time I do something, you got, right? And it's hurting her. She's dying on the inside. And she wants to leave, but she fears her leaving gonna make him attack her even more. So she stays in a relationship, and you know, she has difficulty, or he has difficulty. So some men suffer from post-traumatic relationship disorder. Has difficulty feeling positive. Feels isolated, even when they're around people. Difficulty concentrating. Sleeping, easily startled, difficulty sleeping and staying asleep. See, a lot of, especially women, are suffering, and they relate their symptoms to the kids wearing the hell out of me, man, this job. And it's the relationship. When there is verbal abuse, you know, they got a saying, Charlie, and you tell me if you heard this saying before. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt me. You ever heard
that?
What you think about that? Look into that little saying that he taught us as babies.
Yeah, I heard it. I used to repeat it and stuff, but life will teach you different. Say when you hear something constantly. When you hear something constantly and repetitively, you know, just it starts wearing on you and everything. That's like routine and everything. You start doubting yourself and whatnot. That toxic behavior that's been demonstrated towards you, it becomes your way of thinking and whatnot. You start doubting yourself, the things you used to do and whatnot, you know, it's not even fun and whatnot because you're paranoid that, oh, I shouldn't do this because of, you know, the projection someone else put on you and whatnot. And, I mean, it's just like, you know, just hearing some all the time from someone you love and whatnot, that plays a big part. Because before it became abusive and whatnot, before you realize, and when I say abusive, you know, it could be mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever and whatnot, anything toxic and stuff. At one point, you value what they say and stuff, and then you start saying, you know, oh, well, you're looking at it from the other perspective. And I ain't going to make it seem just like it's the men, because women demonstrate it on some boyfriends too and whatnot, you know, either or. And stuff. But you have to, words can't hurt.
birds can really hurt and whatnot. Because you, like, we were speaking on anything dealing with the mindset. You never know what is chaos to that person, you know, what's normal to them and whatnot. So we all different.
Indeed.
And plus, I haven't been
and
in
you know,
like that.
Go ahead. Talk to me.
I'm saying that I've been in situations in toxic relationships before. Well, you know, and I've had to go live into a woman's shelter to try to get away. I've been to the commercial and whatnot, where they black your face out and you do the voice or whatever. And it's not cool because you do doubt yourself and whatnot. Anything that you do to try to, you know, in my situation, anything I did to better myself, I was told that, you know, you're too old to be doing that. I was like 25 and whatnot. I wanted to go to school to become a lawyer and whatnot. I was told I was too old, you know, I'll be 40 by the time I get a real thing. Or I'm like, really? And stuff, but I didn't do it, you know. And the way I dressed or whatever and everything, but eventually you get out of it and stuff. Eventually you get out.
True.
And I stayed not just off of fear alone and whatnot, you know. I did love that person, and when I felt, you know, that the world didn't understand him, you know, I just tried to reach him whatever way I could and protect him and whatnot, but I'm destroying myself, so I would never lose myself again doing that and whatnot, because you can't help that person. You need to get them help. They need help.
Now let me add this one, say this. Even after you got out, because a lot of men and women, after they leave a relationship, they carry themselves a certain way, right? And the way they carry themselves is based on them having this mental disorder. And they don't know because they haven't been diagnosed with PTSD. Right? When you hear, and I wrote a book called Waking Up on the Other Side of Pain, right? And I believe I mentioned in the book, I got to go back. People have been telling me to put the book out, but I haven't decided to do that yet. But I'm going to go back. And I don't know if I ever sent you the book, but I'm going to send it to you. But I mentioned post-traumatic stress disorder in it. See, after we get out of a relationship that causes us that extreme stress, it's hard for us to go into another relationship. That's why you'll hear a woman say, I got too much baggage. I don't need no man with baggage. That baggage is part of their PTSD. It's things that even if you're dating, memo to myself, even when you're dating, a woman can say something or do something in the midst of your dating, and you start remembering some shit that happened in the relationship. Like, oh, shit, it's a trigger. I got to get out of this. So it can have some type of positive effect, or you can see things that's taking place that warns you, and that's an alert that this is what's getting ready to take place, and it can also hinder you from moving forward in who you are and in a relationship. And so in the book I said, a lot of times when a woman has been hurt, she builds up a wall around her to protect herself. And for a man to deal with her, he has to try to break down this wall before dealing with her. But in her desire to protect herself from all harm based off that past relationship, she imprisons herself. This is where isolation comes in. And a man, when he's hurt, he masked it or he has it from trying to be with every damn woman he can get his hand on. Just try to prove he ain't hurt and he over this woman or whatever. Because it's post-traumatic stress disorder. Have you ever had a friend that leaves a relationship and all they keep talking about is what happened in that relationship? Charlie B. Moore.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I do. I have friends like that.
That's because they are traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I mean, I listen to them and whatnot. I have different, you know, friends from all walks of life and whatnot. They all, you know, we all share our stories or whatever. So be it and everything, and I take them seriously. I know when they're serious and stuff,
right.
And when they're tired and need help and whatnot. And I know the difference between one is just this fishing or whatever. But either way, it's not
right.
My call and stuff. I listen to them, you know. I do what a friend would do and whatnot.
Okay.
So I think that was interesting
so
what you said.
Go ahead.
I think that was interesting what you said about the man when they're trying to deal with hurt and stuff, they go after a whole bunch of different women. I never knew that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
And they get advice from other men who suffer from post-traumatic stress. Come on, man, let's go. Let's go. You got to go. Why? You know, why? See, me being prior military and being part of peer groups for non-combatant post-traumatic stress, seeing the therapist, studying the symptoms and everything of PTSD, I see it clearly with people in their everyday walk. And here you have, let's say, I'm going to speak from guys I deal with, things I see. You have a guy that he left one relationship, he jumps into another relationship. He doesn't trust the woman that he's with. So if she's somewhere, based on his post-traumatic stress disorder, he's insecure. See, a lot of insecurities come from what took place in a past relationship. And so he's looking at her to see if she's going to look at the other man. Or he grabs her hand. Think about this. Here is a woman that likes to, when it's time to go out in public, she wants her man to dress like her. Same color, almost damn near same outfit. She's insecure based on she wants to show whoever they run into, this is my man. Fear. If you get a man that gets around other men and try to hype himself up when it comes to dealing with women, he's masking a pain. Because he still hurts. there are women who deal with another man and they have panic attack or anxiety attack when they're going through something or when it's time to do something with this other man. Or they might go to a spot that last man took them to and they had a bad experience with that man there. So every time they go to this spot, it's triggered, oh, I don't like this place. Oh, hell no. They get triggered. You're listening to North Star Talk blog radio show. If you're listening by computer and you want to make a statement, log into the chat room, leave a comment or statement, we'll put it on the air. If you're listening by phone, you can press 1 and we'll bring you on the air. If you're listening by computer and you want to participate by phone, the call-in number is 657-383-1423. That's 657-383-1423. And we are dealing with, you could get PTSD from staying in an emotionally abusive relationship. An emotionally abusive relationship. Meaning, he or she doesn't have to put their hands on you. They can verbally beat you up. They can mistreat the hell out of you. Have you ever been with somebody that when they get around people, they treat you like shit? So you don't like going places with them. So avoidance come in. You avoid going places instead of just coming out and saying, look, I don't want to go because this is what happens every time we go somewhere. Or they might get tipsy or get drunk or get high. And then you become the problem because you know how they act. So you're ready to go. When we deal with emotions, your emotions can be guided either in a positive way or in a negative way. And if someone is constantly moving you or pushing you emotionally in a negative way, you start losing confidence in who you are. You start losing confidence in yourself. Then once you lose confidence in yourself, trust issues come in where you can't even trust yourself sometimes because you know you have been making the wrong decision with the wrong person for years. You ever seen that happen, Charlie?
Mm-hmm. I have. Speaking on my experience and whatnot, it was to the point where I thought that I couldn't make it without him and stuff. Like, even when we did separate and stuff, I start feeling bad or either, you know, like, just different opportunities were rising and everything, and I just felt like I'm not going to be able to do it. I ain't got nobody to get advice from because I excluded all my friends and whatnot, you know, and only talking to him. And then, you know, push them away, and you find yourself by yourself and whatnot, and you start going back to what's familiar, gravitate towards that and stuff, because you still have some toxic stuff in you. You know, what you radiate, you attract and whatnot. So it was something in me that was attracting that and needing that for some reason. But I had to go through that process to get out of it and whatnot, you know, for me on an individual basis, me, not saying that someone else could do that. But, yeah, that has happened to me before. And I really did. I doubted myself and anything. But when I broke free, I broke free. And it wasn't easy and stuff. And you do. You have the anxiety attacks, like, you know, and whatnot. So, you know, you got to start loving yourself. Because I literally had to look in the mirror and, like, this is not you. This is not you. I mean, I cried. to myself, you know, in the privacy of my own space. I cried. I even held myself. I rocked myself, everything, because I had a son, you know, and I cannot have, you know, keep allowing this and anything, because either he's going to learn one or two things, you know, either he's going to be against it or be for it and stuff. And when you got little people looking around watching this and everything, you have to think about them and whatnot. You really have to think about them and stuff. And for me, my child was my strength. And that was the reason why I broke away and whatnot. And mind you, I'm not going to just say that, and this ain't no Stockholm's, you know, feeling bad for my oppressor or whatever and anything. I did stuff too in that relationship as well. And that would trigger. I knew trigger points or whatever and stuff. And I would do stuff and everything, but still don't give a reason for nobody to put their hands on you or speak down on you all the time and stuff. But, you know, you are in control of your life, and it's important that you take control over your life and whatnot. You know, if you love, just love yourself. You have to love yourself, really love yourself and everything. And I stress that so much because I didn't at that time. I did love myself, but I didn't at the same time, because I would have never tolerated that. And the love I had for him, I would have never tolerated him doing that or acting in such a way and stuff. So, you know, you have to choose you. At the end of the day, you're the same person.
And with you saying you got to love yourself,
right,
and then saying that, can love the other person as well, right? When the mistreatment comes, right? The question we must, because somebody's listening, or somebody going to check out this show and the archives, and they're going through exactly what we're talking about, and they don't even know or have an idea that they suffer from PTSD. So when you say you got to love yourself, somebody might say, well, I love myself. But the thing is, do you love the person that's mistreating you more than you love yourself?
That's right.
See, What we don't sometimes understand is we get comfortable with the oppressor. We get comfortable with the person that mistreats us, because, you know, one of my things when it comes to relationship is emotional attachment.
Right.
And because we take emotional attachment for love. And just like a drug addict keep doing what they do to try to get that first high back in a relationship, we constantly trying to do what it takes to get those first couple of months of meeting that person back. You know, all the great treatment, all the, oh, baby, all the let's go out, all the holding the door, all that shit, you want it back because that's what you fell in love with. He do this, she does that. And then when reality set in and the abuse comes, for whatever little good that comes from the person, we hold on to that little bit of good and take the whole lot of hell. We'd rather have a little bit of heaven because of emotional attachment that we call love. And if there's abuse emotionally, you are dying on the inside. We have to stop allowing people to destroy our inner being. Being in an abusive, toxic relationship for the sake of, well, he pay all the bills. Well, you know, it's her car, and I ain't got nowhere to get around, and she works, and he make sure, and even sex could be that holding, that hold on. And once you start dying on the inside, and once your spirit and your energy is drained, some people are in a relationship and they so damn drained between work and a relationship, they're drained. And so they turn to their own drugs of choice. See, a side nigga can be your drug of choice because you something holding you on to the nigga you really don't want to be with. So you get a side nigga. See, a side chick is your drug of choice if you really don't want to be with the chick you with. But it's something that's holding you there, but you really don't want to be there. See, when you hear the word cheating, they are cheating on me. No, you are cheating yourself. You are cheating yourself when you allow things that take place towards you, to you, for the sake of what you call love. This is why if a man catches his woman with another man, he jumps on the other man. He doesn't deal with the woman that he say he love. He want to fight the other man. A woman see her man with another woman, she bangs on the woman. She doesn't go after because they're afraid that this person is going to leave them for the other person. So you're not getting cheated on. You're cheating yourself. Why? Because you don't know your own worth. You don't know how valuable you really are. And you needed somebody else to validate you. Being in a relationship validates you. Somebody love me. I'm in a relationship. And on Facebook, on Snapchat, on Instagram, you can be any damn thing you want to be. But when you log off, your ass got to go back into that bullshit, that situation you call a relationship. But on Facebook, you can be anything you want to be. Anything you need to say, Charlie? I hate it. I had to go into that. But I know too many people. I know too many friends. I know too many families that suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right. No, don't hate that.
Hell, I even have my moment.
Right. That's so. And the show is for the people, so I would just say is that, you know, get help if you are in you're experiencing this. You got to love yourself, and I mean, not just say you love yourself and whatnot. I mean, take a minute and love you. Go into solitude, because there's a difference between solitude and loneliness and whatnot and everything. Solitude is where you choose to be this way. You choose to be alone, where you actually enjoy your me time to get to know you.
Right.
So I don't want,
right,
you know, the listeners to get, you know, mixed up loneliness and solitude. So get to know you, love yourself. You got to depend on you. And a person only can do what you allow them to and stuff. And you have to stand up in your fear. You have to face that. And why not? You can do it. You can be whatever you choose to be, do whatever you choose to do. And why not? You just have to inspire yourself, self-motivate yourself. You know, and if you're in something toxic and when I do love that person, you don't want them being a toxic. You got to, you know what, use that as an excuse to get out and everything. Use that and everything. I love you too much to destroy yourself, to allow yourself to destroy yourself. This right here, you're not only going to destroy yourself, you're going to destroy me as well. And why not? That's not good. Whether you have little people or not and stuff, you need to choose you. Choose to love you. Love yourself first. And you'll be able to love, you know, once you do that.
Now, what is it a person can do? In your opinion or your analysis.
Repeat that.
That what do you think people can do to gain this love of self? Because that's like a struggle. Especially with somebody that already thought they love themselves.
Right. Well, first of all, if they're the type that stay home all the time and stuff, I would say do the opposite of whatever you're doing. If you stay home all the time, you know, take little steps and get out a little bit and whatnot. Because I'm one of those people that stay home all the time or love my solitude and everything. So I have to take baby steps and go back out there because I would have a panic attack and whatnot. And it's not because of my PTSD now. It's not of abusiveness, but it's just people energy, in, you know, to that extent. But, and, you know, fix yourself up and whatnot, you know. You're feeling down, fix yourself up and whatnot, and give yourself a pep talk. Pretend you're talking to, you know, someone that you truly love and whatnot. You know, because some people go harder for other people than they do for themselves, so pretend you're talking to someone else and everything, and say them beautiful things of inspiration to yourself in the mirror. And I always say the mirror because that's my go-to and everything. When I need that pep talk, I will go to that mirror and stuff. And tell yourself you deserve better. You don't deserve this and whatnot. You know, you deserve so much better. Your life could be so much better. You know, you just have to say something positive to yourself. And whatnot, you know? So
right.
You got to love yourself, man. And you know what? The one thing I always said, if I could leave my son one thing, it would be how I felt about myself, because now the woman I am now, the way I feel about myself, I don't know, it's a lot of stuff. Just by the way I feel about myself, I don't allow and wouldn't allow and everything.
Right.
And a lot of people say, why you want to leave money? Because you know what? The way I feel about myself, he wouldn't know. He's going to get this money and whatnot. That's going to come and whatnot. But I got to love me, because there's some money you don't want. Some jobs you don't want to take too and everything. But love yourself and everything, whatever you do. It's toxic. Anything toxic, you know, get rid of it and stuff. But I will say this, because I'm a woman of balance and everything. You know, you can't always you won't know if you can sail a ship if you're always on smooth water. But that's not saying go out there and jump up and get in a fight or nothing like that. But you've had enough. Enough is enough. Love yourself.
Yeah.
I'm done, Mike.
Now, dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, right? Even leaving a relationship and then our desire to find comfort. One thing about post-traumatic stress disorder is it's embedded and rooted in our subconscious mind. It's something that we suppress in our subconscious mind, meaning we can focus on other things, right? It's the where, this is an excerpt from the book I wrote. To say, where even though one may have conflict, yet deep down in his or her subconscious mind is a suppressed emotional reality that hinders the person from acting appropriate to the moving forward within their life. In my studies, I read L. Ron Hubbard's book, Dianetics, and he wrote on Ingram, by which he defined as a mental image, picture, of an experience containing pain, unconsciousness, and a real or false threat or to survival. It is a recording in the reactive mind of something which actually happened to an individual in the past and which contained pain and unconsciousness, both of which is recorded in the mental image picture called an engram. It must be, by definition, have impact or injury as part of its content. These engrams are a complete recording down to the less accurate detail of every perception present in a moment of partial or full unconsciousness. So what I got from that, Charlie, was that the reality of, even though we may have moved past that which caused us hurt and pain, the incident has been embedded into our subconscious and can be revisited at any given time. Let us use relationship for an example, because we all have been in a relationship or are in one, but let's say for those of us who may have been in a relationship that did not turn out so well, and due to that, we were deeply hurt emotionally. When we start trying to put our lives back into perspective, many find it hard to go into another relationship and to deal effectively within another relationship. Why? Because in our subconscious, we feel that someone else will cause us the same pain that we felt in our previous relationship in some form of or another. Oftentimes, we are looking for the same reality that caused us the pain to happen again. I have spoken to many women who have said to me that there is no such thing as a good man. This type of statement is based on the past relationship they have had with one or more men. Now, more than less, these women see all men as being the same, so even though they state that they are no longer hurting or going through the pain of their last relationship, when they woke up on the other side of their pain, they still cannot function properly. So within the life they are now living, they suppress their feelings. They suppress the natural use of their being a woman, and they put up a wall to hide behind to keep out that type of man who has hurt or caused them pain. They do this to the point where they have imprisoned themselves behind that wall that they have put up to keep others out and to lock themselves in. This also takes place with men. But most men, after being hurt due to relationship, doesn't close themselves in, but tries to hide their discomfort by being with as many women as they can. They block out their true feelings by telling themselves they don't care about relationship, and they now see women as a piece of meat or a toy thing. But this is just to suppress their reality that they cannot move forward properly, so they seek comfort in the form of jumping from one woman to another. This is for many men a reality after waking up on the other side of pain. And this is what's going on. And this is what post-traumatic stress disorder is. It's something going on in your subconscious mind that things can come up, but there's a fear that keeps us stagnant in who we are and our desire to be in a positive relationship, be in a relationship that can benefit us. But because of past situations and circumstance that cause us mental and spiritual and even sometimes physical harm, keep us stagnant in who we are.
Right.
And so we have to now study those who are listening. Study you. Study yourself. Study post-traumatic stress disorder, not from a military standpoint or war or car incidents or whatever, but from a point of having a relationship with yourself. You first have to have a strong personal relationship with who you are. Get to know you. See, after my divorce, I went into a study of myself. I went through the pain and the hurt of a separation and divorce and my children been taken from under my roof, but I also started studying me and started trying to determine how do I make me bigger, better, stronger, and much faster. I didn't focus on getting in a relationship because studying myself and my weaknesses and what I was going through emotionally, I didn't want to put that burden on anybody else. Because of the way I study, the way I see myself, I know and I knew I couldn't love somebody else because I'm trying to figure out now how to really love me to the point where I will build me. So I started studying past relationships. I started studying other people's relationships. I started studying men that I knew. I started studying my mom. I started studying women around me. I started studying their relationship. I started studying marriages of other people. Why? Because I said the next time I'll be bigger, better, stronger, much faster on a mental and a spiritual level. So that when I meet Miss Wright, I know I'm Mr. Wright. And once I understood that, I knew how valuable I am. It wasn't about sex. When I knew my own worth, it wasn't about who I could be with. It was about who could be with me. So I tell people I love and know my worth and my value more than some ass. And this is what you have to do. You got to study yourself and build that relationship with yourself. Your healing from post-traumatic stress. Just no understanding. There is no cure for loving yourself and studying who you are and studying your pain and studying what caused your pain. You will know the triggers. You will know the stresses. And you'll know how to carry yourself and overcome. So you won't carry that luggage and that baggage trying to get into another relationship. And after a relationship, there's nothing wrong with taking time before you jump into something else, before you deal with somebody else. And if the person that desires to be with you, if they don't know your worth and value enough to say, I'm here for you, I would rather be your friend than your man. Because with a man to leave you, a friend to be there to inspire and motivate you. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to look at. You don't need an intimate relationship to validate who you are unless that intimate relationship is first with who you are yourself. If you cannot sit in a room by yourself alone and entertain yourself, you don't know yourself. If you don't want to be in the room with yourself for a long period of time, what in the hell makes you think somebody else want to be in the room with you? So if you've been going through something with a relationship and you've been struggling emotionally and you've been emotionally abused, start loving yourself. Stop looking for somebody to take you out or to take somebody out and take your own self out. Stop getting advice from other people who haven't mastered loving themselves. Start reading books that help you grow. Start watching, go on YouTube. I go on YouTube and I watch lectures on business. I watch lectures on relationship. I watch lectures on self-improvement. I watch these things. I take notes. Anybody that knows me know I would tell them straight up. I do something every day to make me better. I don't care if it's learn a new word. I don't care if it's to do something for somebody to make them feel good. I don't care if it's I'm going to sit up and send out a text or an inbox to tell somebody they're beautiful today. Because somebody might not get that. But if I do it, it's not because I'm trying to hit on somebody. It's because I'm trying to make somebody else smile, but that's what makes me smile. Sometimes when I go out walking, when I pass people, I say, excuse me, ma'am, smile for me. Oh, beautiful smile. Excuse me, how you doing today? You know what? Smile. Oh, I like that outfit. When I see my brother, peace, God, peace, brother, how you doing today? I was walking the other day, and I have a pouch that I wear that I was wearing around my neck that I might keep my ID and stuff. So I went to the library. So when I was leaving the library, I walked by this brother. He said, hey, excuse me, what did you get that from? I've been looking for something like that. I said, well, I got this here when I was in San Antonio with my son. He said, man, I've been looking for something like that. I took all my little change out of it, my money and all my cars out of it. And I said, here, brother. He said, how much you want for it? I said, nothing, brother. He dapped me up and gave me some, man, appreciate that.
Oh, wow.
But that made me better. That made me love me more. I could have been like, yo, let's take a picture and put this on Facebook with me, Jimmy. No. Man, there's so much shit I do just to make me feel good through the course of a day.
Right.
And that's where I find my healing. And I know my healing is not a destination that I'm going to get to. It's an ongoing process. It's something I got to get up every day and work at. Now, people around me, they can frustrate the hell out of me, but I always find a reason to say, hey, try it again today. Anything you want to say to close out the show?
No, what you said was, I will close out that.
Okay. So we want to thank y'all for listening. Those who listen from computer, we want to thank you for listening. Always beautiful to have support. Those who listen by phone tonight, we want to thank you for tuning in and listening. Sometimes you don't have to say a word. Just looking over and seeing that you're listening by phone shows us that you support us. We want to thank those who support us in the North Star Talk Facebook group. We're definitely getting ready to work on some things to make the show better, to make the group better, and to get y'all participating in some stuff. We're going to get back in and giving a Cash App giveaway on the blog show to a caller. So tell somebody. So we want to thank y'all for tuning in, and y'all have a beautiful night. Charlie Beemore, you have a beautiful night.
You too. My pleasure. Peace.
Peace.
Now greetings to the world. Gangster no live in a tenement yard.
No.
Good boy no live in a tenement yard.
Too much watchy. Too much so.
Them chatty.
Fuck all this pretty Sean Carter shit, nigga. Ho. Sean was on that gospel shit. I was on the total fucking opposite. Shit. Step $1 million in a sock draw. That's a war chest in case you need your chest knocked off. Y'all be talking crazy under the IG pictures. But when you get the hell, you tell them Blanco sent you. I can't take no threats, I got a set of twins. Those were just some words you never hear again. For the final time, you don't believe these fools. I never seen a worker rock so many jewels.
Never.
I never seen a runner with so many cars.
Ever.
Y'all couldn't stop me, you're not as tough as you say you are. My advice is just don't be too nice to niggas. Just set the price so niggas and live your life, my nigga. Once upon a time in the projects, Sean was in flight mode, I bought a Pyrex. I was in fight mode, oh now it's fuck me, mijo. I was moving them kilos, help you move.